Indeed, live from Houston, Texas, Sean Pendergast, a.k.a. Sean the Cablin Asian in this here jungle. Good to be with all of you on the Jim Rome Show on a Friday Thanksgiving weekend edition. I am Sean Pendergast. What's going on? We are in hour number two, 855-212-4CBS. If you want to get in on the show, we'll take your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. At Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. And a reminder as well that the Jim Rome Show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Nice to be with all of you. Very cool for me to be in here for Jim on a Friday edition of the show. As much as I've admired this show through the years, as much participation as I've had, some to great critical acclaim, some to somewhat moderate critical acclaim, but experience in calling the smack off. This is a lot of fun for me. So I appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being a part of the show. And again, 855-212-4CBS. If you want to get in, there's a lot of you on Twitter here that are trying to make me start something, and I don't want to start nothing with nobody today. I know that, that the jungle is a place that sometimes, especially on the day of the smack off, it's where the immortals, it's the showcase of the immortals. It's where legends are made and legends are thrashed. You can make or break your reputation on that day. And it's a day, you know, let's face it, it's a day of utter conflict. It's a day where clones and callers and legends are banging on each other all day. I'm not going to have you guys draw me into something like that today. The Texans won yesterday. I live in Houston. I do the pregame and the postgame for the Texans. And I'm not going to have you pull me in on a day of extreme optimism and a day when I'm happy, a day where I know that I am going home because the Texans don't play on Sunday. I am going home from the studio today, and I'm going to eat turkey sandwiches for the next 3 days and not move from the couch. Why would I want to be drawn into some sort of smack battle with people? Like like this tweet right here from 12 Wood says, you should have started the show with, hey, Brad. Now this is, okay, let me back up. You guys are wanting me to get into some sort of beef with Brad and Corona. I've won 5 smack-offs. He's won 5 smack-offs. He's right now, even though he didn't win this year, probably considered the greatest caller currently in the jungle. How you want to process the whole who's the greatest caller in the history of the show thing, like the body of work thing, that's up to you. I do believe he got run 1 year in the smack-off, which to me should prevent you from being named the greatest caller in the history of the jungle. Can you be the greatest quarterback of all time if you had a season where you went 1-15 as the starting quarterback? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, go look at Tom Brady. The dude never finished under 500. I never finished lower than 7th. Case closed. See, this is what you guys are doing. You're trying to get... I don't want to get into a fight with Brad. Like this tweet. Let me read the full tweet. You should have started the show with Brad. You might have more smack-off wins, but let me know when Jim invites you to be a guest host. And then he says, or just go with tell me how my ass tastes. First of all, that's tasteless. I'm not going to do that. Number two, he doesn't have more than me. He has the same amount as me. We are tied with 5 apiece. So put some respect on my number of smack-off wins. But I'm not going to do that. If I wanted to, honestly, if Brad wanted to call in, he's welcome to call in. And I enjoy Brad. Just to be clear, like I enjoy Brad. I enjoy the good callers. Like the good callers, I don't care if they bang on me or take runs at me. And a lot of them did for many, many years. And some of it deservedly so. I don't mind if they do it if they're good callers. It's when the clowns who can't cobble 5 words together do it. Like the ones who do it on Twitter and they don't use any punctuation. Or it's like the shift button is broken on their computer. Mix in a capital letter every once in a while. When needed. Not sporadically, like some of you with your words that have 3 different capital letters in them. Like a 6-letter word and it's got capitals, the 1st, 3rd, and 6th letter. The hell's your problem? But if Brad did want to call in, the easiest way for me to exert my current status on the show would be to just leave him on hold for the whole show, would it not? I mean, like, wouldn't that be the ultimate flex? Like, I may not be able to crank out a better call than Brad in 2020, and I admit it. My best days might be behind me as a caller. I admit that. But, and I already said, I'm here to put the young guys over. I know that. I am here to get pinned on WrestleMania Day for whichever young superstar that Jim and the crew are looking to push to the moon. And I'm comfortable with that spot on this show. But if I wanted to flex, wouldn't that be the ultimate flex? To have Brad call in while I'm hosting and then just leave him on hold. Have Brad be one of the guys where you go, sorry, I didn't get to you. Sorry, I didn't get to you, Felix in Loma Linda. Sorry, I didn't get to you, Jose in Topeka. Brad in Corona. Call back on Monday. Jim will take your call. That would be the ultimate flex. But if he called in, I'd put him up. I enjoy him. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in. That line is currently open. So we had Thanksgiving Day football yesterday. I was dialed in on the Texans and the Lions because, as I mentioned, I am the pregame and postgame host for the Houston Texans. A trial and tribulation for which at times during the Bill O'Brien era, I should have applied for workman's comp, if you want to know the truth. For just a bruised spirit. Bill O'Brien bruised my spirit. The O'Brien era is over now, thankfully. And it's Deshaun Watson and whoever they wind up hiring as the head coach. If I am thinking about becoming the head coach of the Houston Texans, I watched the first half of the Patriots game last week, and I watch all of yesterday's game, and I go, whoo, doggy, this looks good. I could do something with this quarterback. This is the greatest quarterback of a 4-7 team that I've ever seen in my entire life. So that was the story of that game yesterday. I put this question out to you, and I put it out to you again. If you want to tweet me at Sean T. Pendergast, you can. Does any team play like how their coach looks more than the Detroit Lions? And that's across any sport. Like if you were to do this thing where you go, okay, take your team, and I want you to pick the look of a head coach or a manager in any sport, and based on what that person looks like, you have to guess who their team is. And I would look at Matt Patricia, I go, that's the Lions head coach right there. That is 100% the Lions head coach. He is frumpy and disheveled. He is condescending. Remember when Matt Patricia did that thing with that local media member in Detroit? And I don't even know who that local media member was. This is like in his first year there, where he was still feeling himself a little bit. Like he hadn't been completely exposed yet. And he got on that media member and said, come on, just show some respect. Just sit up. He's like getting on this guy for his posture. And he's doing this while he's wearing clothes. It looked like Matt Patricia looked like he just covered himself in super glue and did a nosedive into a hamper, and whatever clothes were sticking to him, that's what he wore that day. And he didn't even rip them off his body and then like put them on as clothes. He just left them stuck to his body and all wrinkled. Frumpy, disheveled, peeved, fugazi intelligent, the stupid little pencil behind his ear. That's the thing. Like I watch a team like that, and first of all, I'm really glad that Bill O'Brien's not coaching the Texans anymore. And it's the one time where you go, okay, there's at least one team that's jealous of my team. Because at least there's hope. At least we are operating with a head coaching vacancy, not that guy as our head coach. The other thing that happened during the game yesterday, and this is during the Texans and Lions game, has nothing to do with either of the two teams, is that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo were doing the game. And I enjoyed Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. I know that there's a lot of people that criticize Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, Romo especially. I think the criticism of Romo nowadays is that he was amazing when he burst on the scene. But that I think there's a feeling he kind of phones it in a little bit now. Like he doesn't totally immerse himself in watching the teams that he's going to be covering. To be fair to Tony Romo on yesterday's game, at least. And I don't get to watch enough of them on Sundays because I'm busy. But I'm busy working. But to be fair to Tony Romo, honestly, like if you were a national announcer that's on the number one crew, why would you watch the Texans or the Lions, especially the Lions? He works for CBS. That's the AFC network. But as somebody who watches every snap of Texans football, I can't really say I blame Tony Romo for not doing the Nesty plunge into some Texans film. So, but here was the moment. And this, has nothing to do with either of the two teams. It's Thanksgiving. So this is what happens on Thanksgiving broadcasts when the game starts to get out of hand. It turns into talk of Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What's on your plate? What's your meal? I talked to so-and-so, and this is what their favorite meal is at Thanksgiving. You know, like all the radio and TV stuff. And I'm probably guilty of it, too. I'm not saying that to throw shade. However, Jim Nantz strikes me as a really, really smart person. Only 61 years old. And I'm not saying he looks old. He looks young. But usually in this business, like I'm in Jim Nantz's business, usually in the business of being a TV play-by-play person, especially the higher the profile you have, you're usually like 15 years older than how you actually look. He looks 61. Dude's actually 61. I couldn't believe that. Go figure. But Jim Nantz had this to say yesterday, real quick, just to set this up. They're talking about J.J. Watt, who had a pick six yesterday. Shout out to J.J. Watt. He had a pick six. Later on in the game, he was talking about a conversation Jim Nantz did. He was talking about a conversation he had with J.J. Watt about Thanksgiving at the Watt house growing up with his brothers, T.J. and Derek. And here's how that went.
He and his brothers, they would feast. They would usually fall asleep, take a little nap, wake up in the third quarter, watch the rest of the game, play a little football. As Peterson's still showing the ability to hurdle past some guys.
So you're saying everyone's asleep and they're waking up right about now?
About right now.
What's that you call it now when you have the turkey and tryptophan? Is that what you call it? That condition that kicks in?
Tryptophan, is that what you call it? That condition that kicks in? Maybe I'm being overly picky here, but when I feel like I'm being overly picky, the first thing I do is go to really the most sane place on earth where the criticism is very measured and rational. I go to Twitter and I put in the words tryptophan and Nantz. And I realized there were at least 10 other lunatics that heard the same thing I did. Tryptophan is not a condition. Tryptophan is an amino acid that you find in turkey that may or may not make people sleepy. Tryptophan, you don't suffer from tryptophan. Like let's say I'm out with friends and we're at a bar and I'm sitting in my stool and I just start to like slowly nod off, you know, and it's 2 p.m, let's say, not a time where I would normally be nodding off at like 1:30 in the morning when I'm hammered, but it's like 2 p.m. and I nod off and I fall asleep and they go, "Whoa, bro, wake up." I wake up and I go, "Oh, sorry, I suffer from tryptophan." Like, it's not a disease where you fall asleep. It's not like a nervous disorder where you fall asleep. Tryptophan. It's, and I'm looking at the definition of it right here. I went to my Google machine. Tryptophan is an amino acid needed for normal growth in infants and for the production and maintenance of the body's proteins, muscles, enzymes, and neurotransmitters. It's an essential amino acid. That's what it is. It's not a condition. The same way THC is not a condition. You know, THC is an ingredient in marijuana that makes you stoned. Like, if you're stoned, you are not THC. You don't suffer from THC. THC is not a condition. You know, for example, when you are eating, I don't know, like a huge plate of chicken wings and you become fat, carbohydrates, carbs are not a condition. Breading is not a condition. Fat is not a condition. Actually, fat is a condition, but you get my point. What's it called? Tryptophan? You know, that condition. Not a condition, an ingredient. I'd like to think Jim Nantz knows this and he just kind of got his... He kind of started sort of doing that thing that you do when you're sitting in a play-by-play booth on a national broadcast, and he may have inadvertently had a producer in his ear at that very second, and he misspoke a little bit. I like to think that, because Jim Nantz is from Houston. I take up for my Houston people. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Would love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. If you want to get in, get at me on Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast. A little later on this hour, Brian Geltzeiler will join me. A lot of NBA stuff, man. Nothing says late November quite like prepping for training camp in the NBA starting on December 1st this week. What a weird year, man, 2020. So Brian Geltzeiler a little later on this hour. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in. I'm Sean Pendergast, Shawnee the Cablin Asian, for those who are indoctrinated into this here jungle. And I am in for Jim Rome. You're listening to The Jungle on CBS Sports Radio. It is The Jim Rome Show. I am Sean Pendergast, Sean the Cablin Asian. For those of you who speak fluent jungle, good to be with all of you on a Friday following Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great holiday. Hope you're having a great weekend. Brian Geltzeiler, hoops critic, going to join me a little later on this hour. Undefeated, Errol the Truth Spence Jr. risks it all, puts his title on the line against Philly's own Danny Swift Garcia in the biggest fight of the year. It all goes down Saturday, December 5th, live on pay-per-view, now on foxsports.com/PPV, and watch it on any screen you want when you go to foxsports.com/PPV and watch it anywhere you want to with that website. 855-212-4CBS. We'll go to the phones in just a minute. You can hit me on Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast. My sons are listening. Shout out to my sons. They're in Chicago. They are spending Thanksgiving with my ex-wife, their mom. And a big shout out to them. One of them's just graduated from college, and one of them is still in college. They both either go or went to good schools. My son went to TCU, and my other son goes to Baylor right now. Those are good schools. And as somebody, I've been on both sides of the fence when it comes to radio. I got into radio in 2007, and a big part of me getting into radio was this show. Was being a caller to this show. That's why this is such a cool day for me. But prior to that, I was actually a very successful corporate executive for about 15 years. I was in sales, and I worked my way up, and I was a VP of sales. And it was one of those jobs that when you go to a parents' weekend with your college kids, like you go visit your kids at college. If you have kids in college or if you've been in college, you know, like parents' weekend is a big deal. And the more prestigious the school, the bigger a deal it is, and the more it's like you get there and these parents are all really successful. So when I was a vice president of sales for a telecommunications company, I went there and I was like, yeah, I'm a VP of sales. So if someone said they were an attorney or they managed a hedge fund or something like that, I felt like, okay, you know, I'll bow up to you a little bit here. You know, like I feel like it's at least in title I could. And the fact of the matter was I was a souped up sales guy, but I had the title. Now I go to these parents' weekends with my kids, you know, TCU, Baylor. My older son's twin sister goes to Harvard. And my God, like, think of the parents there. So you got like, oh, so you go out to dinner, like, what do you do? And, you know, Bob Whitmire or whatever will say, well, I'm a corporate lawyer. And, you know, Joe Jenkins will be like, well, I manage a hedge fund that's $2 billion. And then we get to me at the table, like we're going around the table with these like hyper successful parents. And I'm like, I just wrote a parody song about Bill O'Brien this week. Radio host is a fun job. Don't get me wrong. And it's a fun, fun job. But you got to get to a certain level where you feel like, okay, I'm a little bit intimidated by what these guys do. My guess is Jim probably doesn't suffer from that because Jim's like a huge star. But as somebody who is a local host, that if you Google their name, you know, probably either my smack off wins or some video of me getting my back waxed at a local dare contest, you know, for our station here, those are the things that come up. Like you Google these other people and there's an article in Fortune magazine about them. It can be very intimidating. 855-212-4CBS. I'm not asking you to cry any tears for me. My job's way more fun than all their jobs, but they're really successful people. But I think my sons are cool with it, especially because they go to school in Texas. So they actually have fraternity brothers and stuff that listen to the show, or their dads listen to my show. So that part's pretty cool. 855-212-4227. If you want to get in, let's go to the phones and let's start it off with JP in SoCal. SoCal representing in the jungle. JP, what's going on? Happy Thanksgiving.
My man, Shawnee, 1-800-636-8686.
Yeah.
The email address is rome@avatake.com. Rome is spelled R-O-M-E. You know, Shawnee, it's great to hear your voice. I think this is long overdue. But you know, Shawnee, I got to be honest with you. I probably would have had you guest host my show long ago. But the fact is, you're probably not good for my look. Now, Shawnee, you might have been the best back in the day, but I got to tell you, the jungle has evolved. And now there's this kid, Brad, the BIC, Brad and Corona. I'm telling you, man, this kid, he's unbelievable. He's the best there ever was, the best there ever will be. You know, I invited Brad down to Javier's with me and KB.
All right.
And
you don't come on and imitate Jim. Stop it. All right? Respect the jungle, please. Respect the jungle. 855-212-4CBS. Supposedly he had a parody song. I felt like I jumped into that call at just the right time, if not probably a little too late. But if you're going to have a parody song, you got to get to the song, my friend. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in on the show. We still wait with bated breath to see if the Ravens and the Steelers are going to get postponed. I can't imagine that this game is going to take place. Like, the NFL is doing everything they possibly can to get all these games in. And I think ultimately they're going to get all the games in. If not, supposedly they're going to expand the playoffs. As a fan of a team that's 4-7, whose team is sitting on the very, very, very outer fringes of the playoff hunt, I would highly recommend the NFL expand their playoffs. The talk is that if they have to miss games, you know, if not all teams play 16 games, then they may expand the playoffs to 8 teams per conference instead of 7. If it's missing games, it's going to take them to, if that's what it's going to take for them to expand the playoffs, then as someone who roots for a 4-7 team, I just hope that we keep maybe missing some of these games, because then maybe they'll go, well, you know what? We need 9 teams. We need 10 teams. By the end of the year, they might just turn this thing into a 32-team tournament. The Jets might make the playoffs at 0-16 at the rate we're going right now. But we're still waiting to hear what the deal is with the Ravens and the Steelers. I can't imagine this game's going to be played on Sunday. And if it's not played on Sunday, then it feels like Week 18 is going to become a reality for the NFL, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world, because I think there's going to be more of these examples. You know, it feels like now, it was funny, at the beginning of this pandemic, every time, like in weeks 1 and 2 on my local show, when it was announced that a team or a player tested positive for COVID, like that was enough to play the breaking news sounder. Like all these shows, you know, if you've got a show, you know, if you're listening, if there's breaking news, you've got to sound it. Rah, rah, rah. Now it's time for breaking news sponsored by so-and-so. You remember the first 3 weeks of the season, how the league had a completely clean COVID sheet? Remember those days that felt like they were 8 years ago, as opposed to the early part of 2020 that feels like it was 8 decades ago? But remember the first 3 weeks of the season where it was a big deal, like if there was, holy crap, somebody has COVID. And the Titans had an outbreak, and oh my God, what's going to happen? Got to delay the game. Got to shuffle the schedule around. Now it's like, now is COVID even like barely worthy of a push notification with an NFL player, or especially because they're doing this contact tracing thing now? I mean, they've been doing it all along, but like 2/3 of these guys don't even have COVID. They're just contact traced into it because they're wearing those devices where they can measure how close you are to other people, how good you are at social distancing. Little insight, I was one of 10 people, 10 media members who got to go to Houston Texans practice this training camp. I was the only radio person. That's what this show, the Jim Rome Show, has put me in line for. I have my own local morning show that's very successful. I have a weekend show on this network. I do pre and post game for the Texans, and I was the one radio person allowed to go watch David Johnson run for 2 yards a carry before he was doing it in real games. So I say that to say that we had to wear these things the NFL players are wearing, these little chips, and they follow you it's like a little GPS thing, and it tracks everywhere that you go. And I remember the first day of practice, I'm wearing mine, and they're telling everybody to social distance, including media members. Even though it's outside, we're at practice, you have to social distance. We got a text from the from the VP of communications at the end of that first day of training camp to all the media members, basically saying, you guys were terrible at social distancing. The league warned, I think the league gave a warning to the Texans about how bad we were at it. So I say all that to say I've experienced this firsthand. They are hardcore tracking every step these guys are taking. Every step. And they're uploading all the data. And I'm sure they put it into some algorithm. And then it spits out some recommendation on who the, you know, the social distance scofflaws are. I mean, it's actually kind of cool until one of those chips is around your neck. And then it's a lot of pressure, man. A lot of pressure. Not that there's a lot of people like walking up to me wanting to talk to me, but when they did, I'm like, whoa. I want to keep my perfect social distance score for today. Stay away. All right, let's squeeze one more in here before we get to the update at the bottom of the hour. Jerome is right here in my backyard in Houston. Jerome, what's up, man?
Shawnee, the Capital Nation. Good to hear you hosting the show. Congratulations. Dude, that's awesome, man. I've been a big fan of yours. I've said before on the show, I've been listening for 25 years. It wasn't until this past spring after the pandemic and I had nothing else to do but think of crazy things to say on the Jim Rome show. But anyway, love your game. Congrats on all your smack-off wins. I think you're far superior than that B-I-C. Is it B-I-C? Yeah, that dude's new school. Remember, old school always wins. So good to be in. Good. If I see you, I want to give you a high five. Listen to you just about every day down here in good old H-Town paradise. And I'm out.
Appreciate it, Jerome. Appreciate you listening locally. Appreciate you tuning in today. And yeah, man, 51 is the new 31, baby. Hell yeah, 51's a new... I'm comfortable with my place on this show when it comes smack-off time. This year wasn't my... It actually wasn't my first seventh place finish. I did finish seventh a couple times back in the early 2000s, and it won't be my last. I'm cool with that. I'm just pumped to be doing the show today, man. This is a good time. 855-212-4CBS. All right, we're going to talk some NBA basketball in the next segment. The NBA gets training camps get started up next week. It's so weird. And the season gets started up right before Christmas. Equally weird. We'll talk to Brian Geltziler, SiriusXM, founder of HoopsCritic.com. He'll join us for some really good NBA talk. You'll enjoy this. That's up next. Bottom of the hour right now. Time for a sports update. Here's Erica Herskowitz. All right, welcome back. We are midway through hour number two, Friday edition of the Jim Rome Show. I am Sean Pendergast, a.k.a. Shawnee the Cablin Asian, 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in, at Sean T. Pendergast if you want to hit me on Twitter. NBA would normally, if I were having this conversation that's about to happen, we would be about a month and change into the NBA season, and we'd be talking about, okay, so which teams look good so far, and who are the sleepers, and this and that. Instead, we are several days away from training camp starting up for the NBA. We don't know when fans are going to be allowed back in the arena. It is a different time and place all over the world, especially in the NBA here in the sports world. And joining me to talk about that right now is a good friend. He hosts on SiriusXM's NBA channel. He is the founder of HoopsCritic.com. Brian Geltziler joining me on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, man. The Jim Rome Show. This is absolutely terrific, right? Like, you know what? It was you were a SmackDown guy for a long time on there, and look at this. You're hosting the party. You know, it reminds me of when New York was deciding they were going to take out at the end of The Sopranos, where they were going to take out all of the Jersey family, right? Yeah. So they turned around talking about Bobby Bacala, and somebody turned around and goes, that Mortadell used to drive for Junior Soprano. That's what we got you here in charge. You're the Mortadell that used to drive for Junior Soprano, and now you're running the show. God bless you, Shawnee.
Well, you know, Geltz, good Lord willing, when the end of hour number three rolls around, hopefully it ends better for me than it did for Bacala. You know what I mean?
Just don't go to buy a Blue Comet.
That's right. No toy trains, baby. No toy trains. Spoiler alert. So, Geltz, it's great to talk to you, my friend. And with the NBA, first of all, just as somebody who covers the NBA, how weird is this for you? I mean, I know it's a really kind of basic strain. How weird is this right now to be in late November and getting ready to cover training camp with a season that feels like it just ended like 2 weeks ago?
Very. It's with so much unsure, like we don't know a schedule yet. Like it's, I mean, we have an idea what it's going to look like, but no one knows where everybody's going. Training camp's going to be 3 quick weeks. You know, it's two teams. You're right. They just got done mid-October. I mean, it's going to be a little over 2 months from the time the last season ended to the new season began. I don't blame the league. This is something that's been driven by the TV networks. But in terms of somebody covering it, it's very strange because, you know, we had a forced off season in terms of the quarantine where we were just shut down for all that time. Yet we were still doing shows here and there and doing what we had to do. But now it's in a spot now where it almost feels like never ending. And don't get me wrong, that's not a complaint, by the way. I love this stuff. And the fact that we just got done with a final and we're going to get a brand new season diving on, it's going to be a little bit compressed and then a little bit of a shorter off season again next off season. Like, all of it's fun, but wow, it's different than something I ever figured I would see.
How does it manifest itself in the product, do you think, Geltz, when December 22nd rolls around, the season starts, we watch this thing for the first couple weeks, this, I guess, 72-game season we're going to have. How does the just strangeness of the calendar, do you think, manifest itself either in how guys are used, how guys are playing? What do you think it'll look like?
Well, I think we saw some of that, some of these free agency moves. I mean, the Lakers made one clear move that was totally gauged around being good enough offensively in the regular season to be able to have plenty of nights where either LeBron or Anthony Davis are going to sit. I mean, Montrezl Harrell's not a guy you're going to be able to use closing out a playoff game. He's not going to be able to defend anybody on the other side. But as a regular season player, he will get valuable points for you. He'll take up valuable reps. And yeah, he'll hurt you defensively a little bit, but that you can get away with that in a regular season. And I think that's how you have to look at a lot of this. Listen, there's teams that also haven't played in 9 months, and those teams are going to be out there too that are going to be ultra-rested, and that's going to be something that's going to be a very different dynamic. Listen, I think that if you have to understand, this is probably a more important year than any, to understand the current identity of your franchise. Like, if you're the Lakers, you're playing for July. You're playing to get to that final, and you have to think everything through that way and manage all of it. If you're some of these other teams, it's, you know what, let me get as many wins as I can, 90 miles an hour, my hair on fire, and kind of pin it back and run. Listen, if you're the Phoenix Suns that, you know, played 8 games in the bubble, got sent home, I want to see if I can push through people. I've had a realistic type of offseason here in terms of time. I have an upgraded roster. So that's the kind of stuff that's interesting. If I'm the Warriors, I'm not going to worry too much about low managing Curry, as important as he is to me. I want to try to win as many games as possible. So again, if franchise identity, where you are right now, is going to really totally dictate how you operate here this season in what is really a bizarre, bizarre type of circumstance.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me on the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, you just threw a couple of teams out there that I want to quick hit you with these things. CP3 to Phoenix. Does he make Phoenix? Does he have the same effect on Phoenix that he had on OKC last year?
Yes, he does. And maybe a better effect, because I think that there's actually maybe a little bit more around him here. Devin Booker's a big-time player. You can make case Devin Booker's one of the top 15 players in this league. And he showed you in the bubble how he can lead a team. Having a hyper-competitive guy like Chris Paul next to him, who generally is very happy involving other people and feeding other people, I think is only going to teach him more and make them better. They also had a sneaky good signing in bringing in Jay Crowder. Let's not forget how enormous Jay Crowder was for Miami to help get them to the finals. And he's going to be playing a whole lot of stretch four for them. They got him on a good deal, 3 years, $30 million. Ayton's going to be a year better. And listen, Chris Paul's going to lift them. This is going to be a good team. It's interesting because I feel like the Western Conference lays out this way. There's three top teams, Lakers, Clippers, Denver. Even though I think Denver got a little bit worse and the Lakers got a little bit better, I feel like those are still the three top teams. And then you could look at 7 or 8 teams that could be the 4 seed. I mean, they're all that close and that even. Phoenix is in that category. And listen, if you're the Phoenix Suns, you bring Chris Paul in this year, and he helps Devin Booker get to the second round of the playoffs. That was a successful, successful trade.
Okay, I want to ask you about two of the teams that I think are in those 7 teams that you're talking about vying for the 4 in the West, at least for now. The first one is Golden State. You talked about them, Steph Curry. They lose Klay Thompson for the season. What's your outlook on Golden State right now?
To me, the one underlying issue with Golden State that's going to put a ceiling on what they have to do is Andrew Wiggins is going to have to be something that he hasn't been up till now in his career. Now, again, he showed massive improvement last year and was a better player. And if he can continue that kind of trajectory upward in terms of things like shot selection, focus, you know, motivation on defense, those types of things that they did a better job with last year, then the Warriors could be very good. But the problem is he's never actually done that before, so it's hard to turn around and say, well, yes, they're not as good as they would have been, obviously, with Klay Thompson, but they're still pretty damn good. Well, I don't know that we're there. Listen, Kelly Oubre averaged 18 points a game last year. He's going to help this team. He's gotten better defensively every year he's been in the league. It's a good young team, but it's still going to be how they go, how Steph Curry goes. That's just going to be what happens. But is there enough around them? I don't know. And again, that's why I don't put them in that top three. Before Klay's injury, it was four of them, because that's how good I thought the Warriors could be. But listen, Klay Thompson, a big-time player. To be without him, I don't care who you're filling in for him. It makes them certainly a small cut below.
And I'm assuming one of those seven teams is the Rockets, at least as currently constructed. We don't know what this thing's going to look like come trade deadline, or maybe even during training camp. Who knows? This Russell Westbrook, James Harden thing. How do you think the Rockets wind up playing this thing, Geltz?
Well, I think the Rockets are going to start this season like as is. I mean, listen, Raphael Stone, he's had a lot thrown on him quickly, and I actually think he's doing a pretty decent job here. The reality is this. They're not going to see any of those draft picks for Russell Westbrook. And really, the offers that they were getting were things like John Wall. You know, another offer I think was out there was maybe Julius Randle and Dennis Smith, and that was it. No picks, no nothing. Like, it was, they didn't get any kind of decent bites for Westbrook at all. So it's the right move starting the season with him. Forget about trading James Harden right now. You're going to have to trade Westbrook first before you worry about trading James Harden. So I think what the Rockets are doing is the right thing. Let's get all these guys together. Let's get this thing going. And I also think, you know, making a determination that we're planning to have these guys with us the whole season, and if we don't, we'll worry about it later, was the right way to go. And Stone understood what won in the Western Conference. That small ball nonsense, that really was just a whole facade for the owner to save money. That's not going to work in a Western Conference. So he went and he got a couple of quality long players in Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. We'll see if it pans out. Wood, I think Stone believes, is a marketable contract if they would decide they needed to move him. And I don't think he's wrong at this stage. Wood's a pretty good player. He's a little bit nuts, but he's a pretty good player. So I think, listen, I think Stone's playing this okay. In the end, I would say Russell Westbrook gets dealt sometime between now and the trade deadline. I think I would bet on that. And then the other thing is, I think James Harden, that's the kind of thing that maybe waits till next offseason, and where they have an opportunity to really set a market for him when you don't have things in such a compressed period. Plus, listen, he wants to go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn's got to be willing to play ball, and I think the Rockets are going to want to have a process where they can invite a lot of other suitors in.
Yeah, that's what but Geltz, before I get you out of here, that's what I want to ask you about. James Harden to the Nets. I mean, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, that's already a duo that's pretty, you know, the moods are kind of up and down with those two. You throw James Harden in this mix, would there be a more emo big three in the history of the NBA than Harden, Irving, and Durant?
Honestly, if they don't have reality TV cameras following them around, I'm in right now for the documentary in 10 years.
Yes.
All right, to be able to see what happens with those, if those three guys get together. Listen, I'll say this. I don't think Harden to Brooklyn is as likely as a lot of other people think it is. You got to see remember where Sean Marks came from in Brooklyn. He's the one that had to clean the mess that was made by Mikhail Prokhorov's ownership group in making that Boston trade. And it took a lot of years to clean that mess. And Sean, look up and take a look at what these star players are going for in deals. All right. I mean, you had Paul George go for five firsts, Anthony Davis go for three good quality young players and three firsts. Heck, Drew Holiday, one all-star team in his career, just went for three firsts and two swaps. Like, granted, it was a bad contract coming back, but still three firsts and two swaps. Westbrook last year, who you can't get picks for, went for two firsts and two swaps. So, I mean, if the Nets, Sean Marks is not rushing to trade away three first-round picks again. He doesn't have to, and they're playing this very smart. Start the season with this team that you have. LeVert could very well be a really good third star. The Nets could be a championship team exactly as is, and they have that much. So if I'm the Nets, I'm slow playing this and waiting. And if it means I don't get him, and if he's going to come to me in 2 years when he's free and I have some options, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. The Nets are playing this perfect, and for the Rockets, you got to stretch this thing out a little bit. I would not be at all looking at trading James Harden during the season. That's something I think you if you're going to see it, I think you probably will see it. It's going to happen next offseason.
Geltz, minute or less, Daryl Morey so far in Philly. What do you think of the moves he's made?
He's Daryl Morey, dude. He's been tremendous. I mean, what do you say? Listen, I'm not a big Maxey fan, but when you're going to put him next to Ben Simmons, he could absolutely do something in this league. There's no doubt. The Danny Green trade, as much as he's a little bit shot, it was a really good deal to get off Horford, a really good deal. So, I mean, I love what he's doing. I really do. I think that the Seth Curry for Josh Richardson gives them something they desperately need on that team. Listen, Simmons is one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. So, and having Richardson it was great to have another real good one, but if you have one real good one, you can figure the rest out. Curry was a shooter they needed desperately. So you look at everything that he's done, even bringing in Dwight Howard, you know what? He'll give you minutes when you want to sit Embiid, which is really all you need in that spot. And you don't have to pay $27 million for it like Elton Brand chose to do without Horford. So I think what Darryl's doing is converting that team slowly but surely. It's all going to be in his image. And I promise you this, he understands the value of superstars. It'll be built around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I don't think either of those guys go anywhere.
I've watched Darryl enough to know that for sure. Brian Geltzeiler, founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can catch him on SiriusXM's NBA channel. Geltz, great job. Happy Thanksgiving. It's great to catch up with you, and certainly looking forward to doing this with you again when I start back up doing my Sunday thing in January, my friend.
Johnny, I can't wait, buddy. And I'll tell you this, you know, you and I could sit and do this over drinks at a bar. The fact that we're getting to do it on the Jim Rome show, that's pretty damn cool. Thank you so much for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
First guy that I called, of course. Appreciate it, Geltz. Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys heard it. Nobody's better talking NBA than Brian Geltzeiler. He's the best. All right. 2 hours in, one to go. Just cruising along on a Friday. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. If you want to hit me on the phones, Bryant McFadden, former defensive back in the NFL, Florida State Seminole back in the day as well. He's going to join me in the next hour to talk NFL. Hit me on Twitter @SeanTPendergast. You're listening to the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.